Sport Pods.
It was a journey no Rangers fan will ever forget. A Europa League run that took the club all the way to Seville and en route was marked by some nights at Ibrox that will go down in history as among the greatest ever. Former players Kenny Miller, Alan Hutton and Kevin Thompson were there for many of them and reflect on the adventure. Welcome to Curry Club, the Scottish Football Sessions.
Guys, great to see you and to get a chance to chat about something that's probably still raw for all of you guys because you watched on at close quarters when Rangers made that remarkable run to Seville, and of course it ended in agony at the very end. But what a season it was, Kenny, overall. It was an extraordinary campaign, wasn't it?
It was an incredible campaign domestically. Battles all over the place, league title battles, relegation battles, playoff battles, European fights, and obviously culminating in that European final for Rangers was sensational. You know, you say it's raw and you like no really had too much time to reflect after holidays and things, and the seasons are already started again for next season. So it's looking back on it, it was an incredible journey. Mm-hmm. You know, it was one that was brilliant to be part of. And like from a broadcasting point of view, pretty much there every step of the way. So yeah, really exciting stuff, and again it gives you a wee bit of hunger for more. You expect it to go again this season. So that whether we'll see another season like that or no, I mean, it remains to be seen.
A lot of people talk about the journey the club were on. It was 10 years on from lifting the Division 3 title. They were in Seville in a Europa League final. The turnaround was staggering, wasn't it, Alan?
I mean, it's actually crazy to think about. I mean, we were obviously doing some of the live games, and when we went back and said, oh, it's 10 years to the day that, as you said, they're lifting the title in Division 3 to going on an unbelievable run to make a European final was just incredible. And not only that, to see the development of some of the players coming through and the standards that they set, It was great to be a part of, and the whole emotion and everything that went on through the season, Walter Smith, Jimmy Bell, to be part of that and feel it within the stadium was just incredible.
You played in the previous final Rangers were in, UEFA Cup final, Manchester, and again the team got so close. What was it like watching on this time, Kevin, and did you ever think you were going to see it again?
I suppose you always think that you won't. Dara, I thought when we got there in 2008, it almost felt impossible. I think watching the boys on the telly and the emotion, I was looking forward to seeing Kenny and Coisty's celebrations at the end of the final. That would have been a good one.
Where was your dancing?
Mine's off camera.
That was looking forward to the most. Just to watch, you know, domestically as well, to get so close. I think sometimes when the title's close, obviously every fan wants to see their team win, of course they do, but I think the neutrals and the people that are watching the games, they want to see it close, they don't want to see a team run away for it, so we heard that domestically. And then Rangers were obviously punching above their weight in Europe, so I think the emotion of the whole night, the magnitude and how big the occasion was, to fall short was heartbreaking, to be fair. I'm one of the people that want to see people do well, so to see them fall short was gut-wrenching.
I can still kind of feel the emotion from you all right now. Is it kind of difficult in a way even to think, because you were standing right beside us on that platform, the Ryan Kent miss, everything else. We'll come back to that in more detail, but the kind of agony of the whole end of the game for you all watching on, is it still quite tough to kind of relive it, if you know what
you
I
know,
mean, Kenny?
It becomes draining. You know, you're actually drained within the game. And I remember when that miss did happen, Coisty's in one corner of the platform, I was on the other, hanging onto the railings, and you're thinking that was it. You know, that was the moment that it could have done. But see, when you look over it, I mean, I've done quite a bit of work over in the last 4 years in the European games, and it's almost saying we punch above our weight, and you know, we are, there's no doubt in terms of resources, but you can think back as to how many teams have came to Ibrox, or how many teams of Rangers went up against it that have maybe been outclassed, or it's the same for Celtic for that matter. You know, I think we do our teams a little bit of disservice. I mean, that's, well, we'll ever see it again, who knows, because it's no easy to make a
It's getting harder
final.
And harder.
Of course it is, but I still think on any given night, Rangers can compete against any European team, particularly at home. And we've seen against Dortmund, who were the favourites for the Europa League at the time, absolutely outplayed away from home, never mind at home, you know. So it's always going to be tough, and like you say, it's bulk to be tougher. But it's I just think when you've got a team together that's got a bit of stability and they've got a bit of experience, they've had brilliant experience over the last 4 years.
Yeah.
They've been competitive in every game.
They've been building.
Absolutely.
Under Steven Gerrard, you could see the progress being made.
You could, but I just wonder, is it in your kind of mentality a little bit? Obviously, Thomas is punching above your weight. You speak about it. I remember for BT doing the draw, and then when Dortmund came out, it was like, please don't get Dortmund, please don't get Dortmund. Bang, Dortmund. So I'm live here and I'm thinking, oh no, what am I going to say here? Just keep the score down. That was just my mentality.
In Germany, the first
leg,
yeah.
Just keep the score down. Get it back to Ibrox, because that was always the feeling that I had through this whole competition where Ibrox was a fortress.
Apart from the draws the next day, you're saying, please start. Please get red started. Please get red started.
That's what you're thinking. Just like keep the score down. But honestly, I mean, some of the performances, I mean, were great, and you just think the Dortmund game, are they punching above their weight? But no, they weren't. They just went and proved to everybody that they can handle that.
It'd be interesting to get Tomo's thought on it, because like, we've gone into these games, I felt Braga, they're beatable.
Yeah.
Red Star, absolutely beatable. Maybe not so much Dortmund and Leipzig, maybe a step too far. But you genuinely kind of had a belief in some of these games, whereas I remember watching the games in 2008. What was like your mindsets going into these games? I know how you boys think, and of course we can win. But it was a grind to win, you know. It was a, right, let's dig in for fun and come in.
It was a defensive masterclass, wasn't it? I think you need to have that mindset, don't you? It's natural. I think this is the squad had that, but it was different, wasn't it? You could say it was a masterclass on being resilient and being able to stay in games against players that the harsh reality was were individually better than you. I think as a team and the camaraderie and the togetherness that team had set them apart. And success come off the back of that. I think this team were different in the respect that they could score goals against anyone. It's no being negative or trying to compare the two, but I think people forget that Rangers team scored two in Sporting Lisbon away from home. Do you know what I mean? Like they did score goals, but the other side is they never conceded many. So it was like, I think when you played against these brilliant teams and you genuinely thought you were up against it, I think the boss at the top, you know, aligned with Coisties and Kennys, etc., the belief and the willingness to win and stay in games was what was really important in that group. This team had it because, in my opinion, they could play poorly and they could be up against it. At the flick of a switch, they could score a goal. And that's a great attribute to have. Boys like Ryan Kent, etc. And I think that's been a parachute to the success that team had, that they had that X factor of being able to score against any type of team.
I know it's almost impossible, but has anyone asked you since or in the lead up to that final, which team on their day would have won head-to-head? Which team had more talent, do you think? Or is it impossible to compare?
Great question, Darryl.
There you go. That's what you do in these long podcasts, Al.
Tough question. I think when you...
Don't sit in the fence.
I'll always go back to thinking, and it's not doing anyone a disservice, that I think we're probably on agreement that Barry Ferguson was probably the best Scottish player in the last couple of decades, bar none.
Phenomenal that season.
Phenomenal player.
And in Europe for Rangers.
You imagine if you look at the team and says, who for that team would get in that team or vice versa?
So Barry's got his place, right? How many more? You left at Christmas. You're out. You're okay.
Huts obviously would have been in. But there you go. There's a challenge for you. Huts or Tav.
Well, right away. Well, go on. You tell us since he's next to you. Who are you having, Kevin?
Come on. I think we shift Huts to left back.
That's good. We need to find a way to get
the ball in the team. So how many more do you think, genuinely though? So you've got one who's an absolute lock there. I mean, obviously Alan was away at Christmas, so maybe we can take him out of the picture.
Thanks.
Who else in that team?
I think Griggs would get it.
Griggs would be.
He was still in it. Stephen Davis.
Davis was obviously there. Yeah. The 2008 group was a wee bit unlucky, Darryl, in the respect. And listen, every team is, but I think when you look back, or I do look back anyway, and it's not doing any disservice to Neil Alexander, but Griggs was a big blow. For any team.
Losing for the final.
You could argue that Alfredo Morelos was a bro for the current Rangers team. Daniel Kuzan was a massive one for me.
Yeah.
Because he obviously got sent off in Florence, missed the final. I think if Griggsy and Daniel Kuzan had played, listen, hindsight's a wonderful thing, and it's probably stupid to come up with that analogy, but I think that would have been massive. Listen, we sold Hurts.
Yeah.
In January, obviously, Spurs, Hurts, you went to the final, didn't you?
He was desperate to get out the club, he told me. No, not at all.
Don't you? That's
another podcast.
So wee things for considering how much that group achieved. Yeah. Obviously, they won a double that year. I still remember playing in the Scottish Cup final against Queen of the South and it being a bit of an anticlimax.
Yeah.
Probably the same type of feeling that the group had the hangover to then obviously play against Hearts. So I know I've not really answered that question, but
you've
my point being is
unbelievably well.
Unbelievably well. Eh? That's why I'm no bad at these podcasts.
Right, listen, I wouldn't get any more names or numbers. I think it would have been a good game. We can say that for sure between those two sides. A lot of talent in both of them. Before we get to the kind of games that we've mentioned, a couple of them, the actual knockout rounds, but we shouldn't forget that this was a season where Steven Gerrard came in to this campaign hoping to take Rangers into the Champions League. So they had that massive disappointment against Malmo. And then only in October, after the emotion, by the way, of losing Walter Smith, in October, Steven Gerrard decides to move on. Van Bronckhorst comes in. I think a lot of people were looking at this Rangers team and wondering, could this unravel? Kenny, and it was a difficult start. And Gio, if you remember, first game, he didn't go in the dugout. Hibs losing in a semi-final. Then he does go in the dugout in a Europa League night against Sparta Prague. And right away, it's must win.
It was. And like you say, after the success of 55 and all the euphoria that came along with that, then Stephen leaving literally 4 or 5 months later, it was, you could sense that the Rangers fans were wondering what's next. You know, they've lost the manager who's built something over the course of 3 years. And was it? Like, again, it's who's coming in. Mm-hmm. I think pretty early it looked like Gio was the man that was going to come in. And when you looked at the way he plays, the kind of style, his football that he's played and how he sees the game, it looked a good fit. Obviously an ex-player as well that's been involved some real successful times at the football club as well. So it looked a really, really good fit. And as much as you need to go through the process, I mean, as soon as his name was kind of looked like mentioned that, I thought he's going to be the guy, you know, and as it went, I mean, he came in, and for any manager, you need to put a stamp on a team, and for Rangers fans and for everybody watching, it needed to be moved on. You can't just continue something, you need to move it on, and I think early on, you've seen slight changes, and you see it started
to see.
He was
happy to do that, wasn't he?
Absolutely, and you've seen, I think, the results were really, really good. Mm. Obviously, that first game was a massive game. Yeah.
Took
must
the pressure
win.
Off match day six, if you remember, because it was Leon away after that.
It was done, that was it, what it was through. I was a bit disappointed, to be honest, that he wasn't in the dugout for the semi-final.
Yeah.
Because that's what I was going to say. It was the biggest blow. See, as football players, you lose a manager who's such a big thing within the dressing room. And you're turning around looking at each other, right? And the team did relatively pick itself. Mm. But see, if you have the new guy in there saying, right, boys, this is what I expect from you. Yous are all in show to impress me here. Go out and show me. Even though he was in the stand and you would have felt that pressure, I think even I was at the game and I'm thinking, even at half-time, go down and say something to him. Right. Get involved. You have to do something.
Yeah.
And he didn't.
I'll never forget.
We were standing next
to each other, and you said to me, actually, we were on TV that day, I think your thinking was, go and have a go anyway, because what have you got to lose at this point? Rangers were playing so poorly, and he didn't go in and speak to the team that day, and everyone's discussing at the end of the game whether he should have. I think it's the same day Conor Goldson came out on TV and did that interview and sort of said the mentality wasn't right. I think he said something along those lines, and that's why I'm saying the question mark probably from the fans at that point.
There was obviously a lot of animosity, Darryl. We obviously done the game. I don't think anyone could envision being 3-0 down at half-time, so things change. I probably answered live on air off the back of like experience when Koistu used to take the cup games, didn't he? And Kenny will obviously remember the day really well, down to 9 men against St Mirren. And there's obviously a scene that Walter kind of pushes, albeit they were both obviously involved in the game, Walter kind of pushes Koistu away and takes the reins because things had changed. And I just had that moment in my mind where sometimes you make a plan or you make a decision not to be involved, and then the game throws up a different scenario. And I thought that kind of agreeing with Hutz that he probably should have went and put his presence within the change. Listen, in hindsight, it might not have made any difference to the result, but I think it caused a wee bit of animosity. And then, as you say, the Conor Goldson thing coming straight off the back of it, there was a wee bit of cloud hanging over, not just the manager, but the group, and there was a lot of pressure coming along with it. And I just think
It put Gio under more pressure going into the Sparta Prague game, didn't it?
It did, and I think, listen, ultimately, he's done the right thing, and that's why we're sitting here and not at Ibrox. But I just think at that precise moment, I'd love to ask him if he could go back and maybe change that, because obviously it was semi-final there, a cup to get to a cup final against potentially your arch rival. So would it have changed much? We don't know.
The other thing is, looking at that game in itself, the Sparta Prague game, I know we can't remember every detail of every game, but Morelos scored 2 goals that night. And actually, Morelos wasn't having his best season up to then. I think one of the things you could say about Van Bronckhorst, Roy Mackay as well, coming in, the improvement in Morelos, maybe getting the hunger back, Kenny. I mean, he was brilliant. Ultimately, he couldn't play in the final or the semi-final, clearly, but he was superb for Gio for a long time, wasn't he?
He was, even domestically. He started to find his goal-scoring touch again. And I think Gio came in, and his first weeks, I'd actually made a comment regarding Alfredo that he maybe needs to get back in the box and between the sticks, when there's crosses coming into the box, where he scored most of his goals has been in there, and being that presence and being that focal point of the team.
And that's what he did that night, I think.
He did.
Two in the box.
Two right in there, and a lot had been made about his all-round game leading into that. And things, again, as a footballer, you need to improve, and that's a side of Alfredo's game that could have improved and has done. But maybe there was a more of a focus on his link-up play and how he was kind of being more involved in the game rather than just being when he needs to be in that box, in between the stacks, second 6-yard box, and be that goal threat. And straight away, he started scoring a lot more goals domestically. And obviously, Europe, he's always maintained a good level of goal scoring form. So his form definitely picked up. And like Tom will say, it was a huge miss in the final. There's no getting away from that. Just having that presence and having a specialised player in that position could have made a lot of
difference. To play somewhere else as well. But.
Well, exactly. And he could have been back to a position that he's more comfortable with as well. So it was, listen, to be fair to the lads, without him, they've done great. Yeah. You know, they've done great to get there. But when you're looking at things, that there are reasons why it never, like Tomo was, but without Greigsy, without Daniel Kuzan on that night, without Alfredo as the focal point, as your recognised number nine, What difference could it have made? You know, who knows? But listen, it's history now, and we can look back and reflect. But
and that's why we're doing it.
They
got to the final. It was amazing, obviously. And just working our way through it then. So Sparta Prague, done. They know they're going to qualify. They're in the knockout stages, but they can't top the group. They go to Lyon, they get a draw, which is also, I think, important for Van Bronckhorst because it continues that undefeated in Europe, that little run that they were on under him. Then the draws you've already mentioned. Borussia Dortmund, probably the one side you don't want. Erling Haaland obviously didn't play against them in the end, but still, what a talented team Dortmund were on that night. I think, was it Rory Hamilton, the line, Dreamland and Deutschland, that famous commentary line now. I mean, what a game, what a night that was. Maybe that's the night the Rangers team really started to believe.
Yeah, you're totally right. And I think James Tavernier came out and spoke about it. The belief that started within the squad after that game. If you go somewhere to, they were the favourites. Yeah. They were definitely up there. So if you go to their home patch and play the way they did, took the game to them, scored four goals. Mm. And I mean, it was a great game to watch, great game of football.
Yeah.
And they were full of superstars. So, of course, you're going to come back to Ibrox with that belief, knowing that they'd already scored goals and they could do that at Ibrox, which they did. Mm. But you've seen that you can score four goals. You can be a threat. They're always going to be a threat at home as well. And it was just one of those games where even myself as a fan, see, when you're a footballer, you kind of go away, well, I did, from being a fan. It's the only way I can say it. You just watch the football differently. But when I'm in Ibrox and I'm watching some of the European games, and I'm jumping up and down with the fans and cuddling them and, yes, this is brilliant, like a fan. It was crazy for me to feel that way because I haven't felt that way in a long, long time. Yeah. So to get that feeling back, me personally, you can only think what those boys are going through at that time.
I think even more incredible than the result was it 14, 15 days prior, Rangers lost 3-0 to Celtic, and it did feel like the league's getting away from them at that point, or at the very least, it was a result that maybe shocked the Rangers fan base. So to do that, 15 days later, I mean, that's incredible turnaround in that result alone.
I think sometimes, though, I hate the word really, but a lot of people talk about moments and seasons. Yeah. Mick Beale talks about it a lot, that sometimes you need a moment in a season against a good team to believe in what you're doing. Yeah. I think the subtle changes that Gio had, we can talk about it tactically and all the wee subtle bits that he changed, but just on that moment in Germany, I think he gave the belief to the squad that what they were doing worked.
Yeah.
And I know in hindsight they fell short in the final, but I think that moment in Germany was every player buying into what Giovanni Van Bronckhorst was. Yet you mentioned only 14, 15 days prior, I watched the boys at Parkhead and they looked lost. I questioned what was the game plan, what were they doing, how were they going to stop Ange, how were they going to win the game. Yet, amazing how things turned around. And then I can flip back to like wee different things like Calvin Bassey stepping in against Tom Rogic and changing to 3-5-2. And I have to say, he needs to take up a massive amount of credit for one, changing small things, but getting a group to believe in it.
But you know what's even difficult though, sorry Kenny, right? You think of the highs, and we've all been there with Rangers, like your high of a European game and then you come back down to earth. The drop points, obviously, was at Motherwell and Dundee United. Yeah. Just either side of those games.
Yeah.
So, like, there's a turning point. You talk about the Celtic game. There's points dropped as well. Even though you're on this high, you're on this crest of a wave, it's great. And then you come back down to earth with that. So, the European nights were special.
Yeah. But there's a couple of things on it with the Celtic game. Rangers were really, really passive that night. Mm. There's no getting away from it. It's like trying to decipher what the plan actually was. It did look like there was a more of a sit-off kind of feel to it. Whereas, fast forward 2 weeks, they were right in Dortmund's faces. Yeah. So I just wonder if that game had maybe been a bit of a lesson learned that we can't play that way. We're best when we're aggressive, when we're front foot and we're getting at teams, whether it's Celtic at Celtic Park or whether it's Borussia Dortmund away or Ross County at home. Mm. We need to be on the front foot because that's where we get the best. And then slipping into that back five. for the first time, really.
Lundstrom dropping
in. Lundstrom, again, it's not as if it's a back putting Leon Balogun, Bassey and Goldson as a back. It was slipping a midfielder back in between the two centre-backs, and it worked. You know, and by all accounts, it was worked on, it was planned. This is something that we could do to try and help us maybe get a little bit of control. And what it also done was, whereas a lot of people watching the game will think it's a defensive move, it really freed up Ryan Kent.
Yeah.
You know, and allowed him to get in amongst Morelos and be a real attacking threat. So Tom will say about moments. These are moments in a season or even within games that they've flipped things and it worked, and I think it gave them a belief, and it was a tool that was used pretty much through every game.
We were guessing ahead of it, but I think the only time we never mentioned it ahead of the game was when he actually started with it, we were wrong.
So like, that was when you see that, will he start a back five again? Will he start? I'm like, no, they'll not start,
they'll but go they'll, to it
they'll dip into it. Yeah. But the one game you never let you say is that they actually did start it, but
is it later?
It's a brilliant tool to have.
Yeah.
You know, it was a brilliant tool to have. And
but Lundstrom as well, you remember the goal that he scored in Dortmund? Kent the trickery out wide. I think it got given goal of the season in the end at the Rangers Awards. I mean, that maybe summed up the performance that night. Kent at his very best in European games, when maybe domestically he wasn't finding that form, and Lundstrom becoming such an important player.
I mean, I think obviously when we talk about Ryan Kent, his bar was that high that you expect brilliance from him constantly. But some of his best performances were European nights. But if you go back to Lundstrom, Alaskert, the game there, qualifier, first 45 minutes, two yellow cards off. I mean, some of the fans weren't happy at all with him. So to see his development through this European campaign to what he's become now,
he's got his own song.
He had his own European song. Do you know what I mean?
Like, it became the song.
So it just shows you how far he's coming. His performances were up there, and it was just really good to see his development. Obviously, under Gio, he bought in to, like you're saying, what he wanted from him, the formation, how fluid he could be. So just another one of greatness from him.
It's spot on though, because had he gone in the January transfer window, had he been put out on loan or whatever, you might, or maybe even sold if there were suitors for him, Kevin, not many Rangers fans at that time would have blinked an eye, because it didn't look as if it was going to work for Lundstrom at Ibrox.
I think a lot of players that happens to Ibrox, it's a big club, and there is a lot of weight that comes and expectation and the magnitude and the microscope that you're under every time you touch the ball. And I'm not saying John struggled with that. I remember doing one of his very first games, Rangers TV. Don't call me on who the team was, but, and I don't want to sound as though I know it all, but I felt as though he thought he was this sort of baller and he could just stroll around and do X, Y, or Z. Whereas when I used to watch him down the road, he was like a powerhouse, full of energy. And I think when he flipped to doing that, one thing I do know about Rangers fans is if you're given 110% and you're getting stuck in and you're rolling your sleeves up, they soon adhere to you. And I think John started to do that, and he found a niche in the market, a bit like Ryan Jack. I thought Ryan Jack got sent off a lot when he first came to Rangers, kept him wanting to put his foot in, kept him wanting to slide into tackles, and it wasn't really what was right for Jacko. Yeah, I think John's a wee bit the same. I think when he found his niche in the market and what he was really good at, he's done it brilliantly well, and he's rightly so getting the credit they deserve.
BT Sport Pods. So we've mentioned Dortmund away. It's still at 4-2 because Dortmund scored quite late in that game. You're still not sure, are you? Get into the game at Ibrox because they're such a good team. I think it was another early Tavernier goal that put Rangers further ahead, and then Dortmund comes storming back into the game. I think it was 2-1, wasn't it, at one point to Dortmund, and it almost felt like the next goal was the winner in that tie. And what a night it was at Ibrox.
It was sensational. It really was. I mean, I never thought I would have seen a better atmosphere that night.
Yeah.
But I was proved wrong. Leipzig. It was incredible. But it was.
But Jude Bellingham, you had so much of that game. You remember when Dortmund were 2-1 up. They had chances. Rangers were on the back foot.
And he was running the show. You know, what a player. 18-year-old, what a player the boy is. Actually demanding of German internationalists when they were playing the ball behind them. It was actually good to watch.
Yeah.
But it was, again, real character, you know, and I think they dipped in and out of the 4 and the 5 that night as well, which definitely played their part.
Well, they went to the 5. You remember the goal decided at the end.
Well, it was left wing back to right wing back for the goal, but it was Tav again popping up where I think it was a penalty, wasn't it? Yeah. And it was the one that kind of blew our mind a wee bit, where Ryan Kent had lost the ball a little bit.
Yeah.
Then he got tripped up and it was a penalty. But we really thought with that late goal in Dortmund, you were thinking, 4-1, I'm thinking, right, you can't lose this now, you know. You've got to go through. But when that goal went in at 4-2, I'm thinking, right, okay, Dortmund are more than capable of coming and winning 3-1, 2-0, 4-2, whatever it's going to be. And you've seen that. There was a definite, it's like they'd underestimated maybe Rangers a wee bit in that first leg and thought it's the Scottish team. We'll deal with them, no problem.
Yeah.
We're Dortmund, we've got all these superstars. And when they came to Ibrox after what had happened in Germany, you thought they're going to turn up tonight. And they did. You know, but Rangers managed to, I mean, they got their nose in front of the penalty, they came storming back, but they actually never really looked too much in danger. As much as I was re-chancing things, I felt they were pretty controlled. Mm. It was a good performance, and I think the second half...
Your body language,
reflecting on the game, I felt the second half Rangers were pretty good, you know.
Yeah, they made the change, yeah.
Yep, and then when they go to the back five, you see Bass. I mean, Bass, he's been a revelation this season, a real find, whether it be left back, left wing back, or left centre back. But him going down that left flank and crossing the ball, Hummels making an absolute... howler at the front post, and it falls to Tav at the back post. And firstly, I think, how is he there for a start as the right wing back? But it's just the way they play, and I think it suits him down to the ground. And going back a few months before when Gio did come in, I think Tav and they were getting asked to play a wee bit of a more withdrawn role and maybe a wee bit more of a supporting cast to the winger. And I think pretty quickly, again, and all credit to Gio, he thought, we've got our biggest attacking threat could be our right back.
Yeah.
We need to get him into positions where he can cross, where he can deliver, where he can score. And they definitely changed it a wee bit for even for Bonner's side on the left, whereas he was maybe more of a support to Tav. No, you're our outlet. Mm. You know, and he got on the end of that. And by the way, the goal looks easy, but I think he's made it look easy. That's not an easy technique. Not an easy technique. One, to stay concentrated in that moment, knowing everything's at stake as well.
As a fullback.
Or a wing back.
On
the back of the goal, wasn't it? But the technique, the connection, and you know, the noise level
the eruption
were
of noise
sensational.
Was absolutely mental.
And let's not forget, they should have went 3-2 up.
I know you're still fuming about this. Should have won the game.
Yeah. Should have been
Morelos, wasn't it?
Well, because Jan's looking over his left shoulder. I think it was Kent that was maybe pressuring him. So he's thinking, well, I'm in control of the situation here because you're there. I've got the ball here. Little does he know, Morelos is coming for the other side. Gets in, and Alfredo plants that big leg. You know, he plants that big leg of his and takes the ball. Mm-hmm. And next minute, Jan's went that one where he's going to pass it, but it's been nicked and he kicks Alfredo. So really, if anything, the free kick was the other way. Alfredo stands up, goes through, lays it to Kent. Kent taps in, and the noise, the roof came off.
To win that, to win away would have been really something. It didn't matter at the end, obviously. No. I knew you were going to mention
that.
That was just on my lips.
That was the same thing.
We were talking about how they can score at any given time, and that was never been a foul. Mm. Like, that was Morelos doing what he does best, strength, power, running away from people, lays it on.
And that's why I question VAR, because that should never have been a free kick.
He's still fuming about that.
But it's just even the atmosphere. You didn't think you could beat that on that night.
Yeah.
I was in the club deck at the time, and I know it's meant to bounce, it's built to bounce, but wow. Like, you're actually, the whole thing was rocking, and you would never have thought that would have been beat until Leipzig.
Well, yeah, and we'll get to that. So next up, all of a sudden, it's probably a draw that Rangers wanted. They get Red Star next. They come to Ibrox, first of all. Another mental game, if you remember, early stages at Ibrox. Red Star looked like a phenomenal team. They played some great stuff. VAR did come into action a few times. Do you remember there was three disallowed goals? McGregor saved a penalty as well. Rangers ended up having a brilliant victory.
It's mad to think that. Like, only a season ago, we wouldn't have had VAR and all these decisions, and you would have been probably never off air debating them, and whether it's right, whether it's wrong, even though you still debate them with VAR. But Red Star, I felt, was one of the games off the back of Dortmund that the team had to fancy to win.
Yeah.
Even though I know going over to Red Star, I'd been there myself as a player, that's hostile, difficult environment to go. But what we mentioned earlier was this Rangers team could score against anyone. And to score the goals that they scored against Dortmund, it was like, if you were a betting man, you would have put your house on Rangers scoring goals. To get through that, in my opinion, just kept the momentum going for the journey. I was lucky enough to be at Ibrox in a few of the games, and the atmosphere just kept on cranking up and cranking up and cranking up, and I think the belief kept on going with that, and added with the quality and the kind of flourishment of some of the players. We mentioned Bassi's, Lundstrom's and that. The players seemed to just get better and better and better, and it wasn't just better and better, all due respect, domestically. It was better and better against, as Kenny mentioned, like some of the Dortmund players, etc. Top players.
Well, I think that was also the night, because McGregor's penalty save was a really important point in the game, and you'd said to me, he's the best in the business, he's going to save this. You said before it happened, you just felt it was going to be the case. But also, I think that's that maybe one of the first points you started to think, This couldn't end for McGregor. Could it back in a Europa League final? Obviously, we now know he's going to play on for another year at least. But at that point, maybe the pieces started coming together, Kenny.
They did, and you know, that was actually a big moment in that game.
Huge.
As well. You know, a really, really big moment, and it was a sensational save.
Yeah.
It was absolutely. You see so many goalkeepers go at that, and it maybe just would have got through, or it would have went. He gets the strong hand. It
was like 500 mil per hour.
He's absolutely drilled it. Low into Alan's right hand side, and it was an incredible save. But brilliant game again. Atmosphere was sensational, and they got the job done. As much as that first 20 minutes was wild, absolutely wild. Once it settled, again their nose in front. They got a bit more control and obviously won the game. Won the game well. Obviously got beat when they were up through and Red Star. That was enough. That was enough to get through.
And you needed that because you've just said you played away in Belgrade as well. Were you away?
Yeah, I played in Belgrade.
So you knew you needed to take a good advantage there.
Well, I remember talking to people, fans, supporters, what's it like over there? And yes, it's a hostile atmosphere, but you remember the walk out, the tunnel, and all the armed guards are all there lining the tunnel, and you're intimidated walking out. That's the feel you get. So knew it was going to be difficult, but going back to the Ibrox game, I mean, it had everything, sending offs, VAR, goals, penalty saves. So you're just thinking, what's the second leg going to hold?
Do you remember the second leg?
Yeah, was it the best performance? No.
McGregor was fantastic. We were there. Brilliant saves.
Yeah, we were there, and it was a poor start. They scored early on.
Yeah.
And you're starting to think, oh no, what direction is this going to turn in? And it wasn't a great performance. Greaves came up at big times. I think he had a big save before half time.
Probably one of the poorest performances.
Yeah,
I'd
agree.
Huffed and puffed a wee bit.
He did.
They scored early. I think he had a big save. And then just before half time, he had another.
He did.
Was it one on one?
Diving away to his right, I believe it was.
Yeah. It was a great save. Kept him in. Well, it was a scruffy goal at the end. But we always knew, again, there was an opportunity that they could score a hit on the counter.
With Ryan Kent?
Exactly. Yeah. Because we were saying at half time, get the ball to Kent. We'll get it in behind, causing problems. And he did. It was a scruffy goal, but they all count. Mm-hmm.
Then onwards again, you're thinking, who's next? Who do you get next? And Braga come out. Once again, you're probably going into the match thinking, Rangers are maybe favourites here, albeit that Braga side had some amount of talent in it.
They did, again, go to Dortmund. You don't want Dortmund, you get Dortmund. I think when you look at the Red Star draw, you probably would have taken them. Yeah. Braga, when the teams that were left, it was probably you would
Barcelona.
You would edge towards Braga in the draw. And obviously facing Braga a couple of years ago as well and beating them. And the thought behind that team is that this Braga team might not be as good as that team that came a few years ago, albeit they were, like you said, they were an outstanding team.
A great run,
team.
Carlos Carvajal in charge, and a great run at
they
that
time. They were a brilliant run. But similar to I think pretty much from after the Dortmund game, the Red Star away, the Braga away and the Leipzig away, weren't they great performances? No. Albeit the Leipzig one was a performance by design.
Yeah.
Whereas Braga wasn't great. They were probably lucky to come away with that result that night.
Defeated that night, but stayed in the game, if you remember. And that also came, I think, just after Celtic had won at Ibrox. So once again, regardless of what we've just said about Borussia Dortmund and the manager, tactically excellent at times, question marks were being asked again about Van Bronckhorst. The league was now getting away from Rangers. I just lost to Celtic once again. Losing in Braga, that was a point in the season. It was absolutely critical.
Yeah, as Kevin says, it's moments, isn't it? And obviously, domestically, when it's not going well, Celtic are starting to kind of get momentum. Mm. There's always going to be question marks.
Yeah.
You go across there, you get beat. Remember, that's the first loss of Morelos, I'm sure. So that
round,
was just after the internationals.
You remember Red Star away, you were saying he was toiling.
So we're watching it, we're down in the studio, and I'm saying, Morelos isn't right here.
Yeah.
He kept for about 25 minutes, he kept on pulling up his shorts and he's rubbing his legs. I'm saying, get him off.
Yeah.
Like, the game's done now, just get him off. So there was obviously a niggle there. He's went away. Something's happened.
Yeah.
So this was one of the games.
Duty
exactly. One, so
didn't,
it was after
didn't
the
kick
international
another ball that season for Rangers.
Done operation, so he's gone. So this was probably the first time where they've had to deal without their talisman up front, if you want. So that's, I think, obviously affected them. But 1-0, they're still in the game.
Yeah.
So we
pressure
know,
was on, but in the game.
Exactly.
And it set up another incredible Ibrox night, didn't it?
Yeah.
I mean, what a game that was.
Yeah,
it looked
I mean,
the tie was done. Braga score late, take it into extra time. Down
I remember Carmel the header to take it into extra time. Yeah. And you're thinking, oh no, you're starting to worry now. Like, they've come back into the game after a great start from Rangers.
It should have been 4 or 5.
Yeah, of course it should have
been done.
It should have been done. But that, did you feel I felt the nervousness within the stadium there. Like, right, we're in front, but kind of sitting back a little bit. They're kind of growing into the game. And it's a great header for the, I think it was Carmel, was it Carmel?
Yeah,
if you remember in that week though, it's getting, because you know what it's like in Glasgow, it's constant pressure. So leading into that week is, if we get beat on the Thursday night and then if we then lose the semi-final on the Sunday, our season's done because the league's getting away from us, and all of a sudden we're out of the Europa League, we've lost the Scottish Cup semi-final, Celtic are 6 points clear in the league. it was billed as a real make or break week for Rangers and Giovanni.
It was billed as must win.
Must win.
Absolutely. And then to go there and, by the way, coming at the traps flying again.
Yeah. And, well, Tavernier, two more goals.
Again, another two goals and coming at the traps flying. Should have been three or four and game done. Mm. All of a sudden, they get the goal late on and it's extra time and they have to dig deep and they eventually get there. And then leads them into a semi-final, having to go the same again. So it's went from a real make-or-break week to an outstanding week that's now built you towards, obviously, a Scottish Cup final and an opportunity.
Got to mention Europa League final. Yeah. Golden boot, right back.
Well, I was building up to that. But I tell you, I mean, what from a right back's point of view, it wasn't just the goals either in that competition. Obviously, some penalties, but some of the other goals that set the tone, nights like the Braga game at home. But his performances overall, probably the best he produced for Rangers in this European run throughout the whole season.
I thought it was superb. Hutz will obviously be able to give a better insight in the right back, but not just his numbers. Kenny was lucky enough to wear the armband at Rangers. The prestige and the weight that carries, if the team underperforms, even if you're the best player, you still get criticised. It's just the way it is. And it's such a big prestige that everybody would want to be it. But to know lots and lots of Rangers fans that have knocked them over the years, his performances and either been up
defensively
and down.
Defensively, well, question mark.
Of course they have.
But fantastic defence.
That's the difference.
Well, during this European League run, he was brilliant defensively at times, wasn't he?
To me, it was undoubtedly his best season in a Rangers jersey. His numbers, even under Steven Gerrard, have always been terrific. But
he was player of the year the season before as well. So for you to say what you've just said, maybe puts in perspective how well you thought he's done.
I just think it's an overall package as well, Darrell. Like, modern day football players are fit and you need to be able to play 50-60 games, especially if you play at Rangers or Celtic, because you're obviously European, plus you're competing in every competition domestically. But to churn out the minutes and the performances that Tav has over the last 24 months at the standard that he's produced, the goals he's produced, the numbers he's produced has been phenomenal.
Go on then. He finishes top scorer, by the way, in the Europa League. All of his goals after the group stage.
It's crazy to think a right back, and it was penalties, big moments in the game, pressure. If it wasn't that, it was back post, coming in on the end of something. But I said to you when we were doing games as well that when Tavernier plays well, Rangers play well. Mm-hmm. A lot comes through him, we know that. And his numbers are great. And there was a question mark over him at one point. I've seen him develop as
points,
a player.
But
I've seen him develop over the years. He's had to deal with a lot. He's come out the other end of it, in my opinion. And him being so good at what he does is the reason Patterson's away. But you think there's a guy who could, in my opinion, could have stepped in there and been a Rangers player for the next 10 years. Mm-hmm. He had that opportunity. But yes, the money, they cashed in. But it's because Tavernier, he's not going to be able to oust Tavernier out of there because of the performances that he's putting in week after week after week, season after season. That's hard to do with the pressure that's on you.
He became a real leader, didn't he, for the club off the park as well. Some of his interviews, what he had to say, because you're right, you have to front up often when you're captain when it's not going well.
£400,000 they paid for him.
Was it £400,000? No, was it even as much as that?
No,
it
wasn't
but boys are looking at him to do something.
Yeah.
Cameras, as soon as he walks in the stadium, the cameras are on him. Mm. Because they know when he's playing, something's going to happen.
Just to finish the story then, the Braga game, because obviously it does go into extra time. Keemar Roof gets the goal, then against nine men to put Rangers through to the semi-finals. And as you've already mentioned, the question's been asked ahead of the game, because what was coming next was Celtic at Hampden in a semi-final. To go the 120 minutes and then to go again and defeat Celtic again at Hampden to make the Scottish Cup final, that was, I keep saying remarkable, that really was an incredible few days, wasn't it, for the club?
An almighty effort, you know, for everybody involved. We've touched on it for a broadcasting point, I mean, we're drained. At the end of 120 minutes. So what are these players feeling like after another 120 minutes on that Sunday? It was, you know, going into that semi-final, because even at that stage, you were still thinking, to win the Europa League, is it really possible?
People were saying change the team.
You know, so people were saying, we need this.
And they made some changes, but not crazy amounts.
But if Rangers had finished off that season without any silverware, it would have been disastrous. You know, for a point for where there have been 6 points ahead in the league, now that's pretty much gone. You've then lost a semi-final to Hibs. Now you don't win the Europa League, albeit it's been an incredible journey and some brilliant performances and memories. If you had not won that Scottish Cup, for me, it would have been a disastrous season. So after 120 minutes and all the emotion and adrenaline flowing for the Thursday night to go and play on the Sunday, and everybody saying, oh, well, Rangers will tire. They've got to tire, and that's going to be Celtic's favour. Well, that never happened. They went the other way.
Finished the stronger.
You've got Calvin Bassey bombing up the outside.
Well, that was a huge point of the game, if you remember. He moved to left back. Well, there was an injury. Was it Balogun came off injured?
Came off.
Bassey goes to left back. And
And then the energy he showed right through the whole season, when he came into the team, was just incredible. And that moment kind of typified it, you know. And extra time, everybody's saying that Rangers are going to be tired and Celtic might be able to take over at the latter stages of the game. Well, he's absolutely bombing on, overlapping, and an extra time, whipping a great ball. And sometimes you need that moment of luck.
Yeah.
You know, and if you put the ball in the right areas, say all along for fullbacks, for wingers, when you get there, just flash it across the goal. Because your man can put it in, a defender can put it in, anything can happen. And sure enough, it goes in off the toe, flies into the corner and decides the game.
BT Sport Pods. The momentum just kept on building for Rangers at that time of the season. Onwards onto Leipzig, away from home first, and building up to that game, we kept on showing clips of Leipzig that we carried, and the more you saw of them, Alan, the more you thought, geez, oh, this is a seriously good team. They were the form team in Germany at that point. I think they'd lost once against Bayern Munich in the previous, three or four months domestically. They were a phenomenal side, and Christopher Nkunku, I think he had some opportunities in that first leg as well, but Rangers came away once again. Narrow defeat. They could have actually drawn the game.
Yeah, I mean, it was definitely, as we spoke about earlier, designed. They were going to be a defensive unit, hard to beat. We know about Nkunku, he was getting touted about for £50 million moves. And the one that kind of sticks into my mind is when he's running across the box and Griggs comes out and he pushes him wide and he misses. But they got undone by a very good goal, Angelino, with a volley. I mean, it's one of those ones. It's obviously difficult to take as a player because you've worked so hard to earn the result. But they had opportunities within that game as well. And I think we've seen enough to know that the second leg would be different. They would come out, probably tactically be different. There'd be opportunities there. And they kept them relatively quiet at home. So it gives you that belief going into the second leg that, wait a minute, we can actually take this team on.
That was, I think, a kind of Walter Smith-esque performance on the road, wasn't it? The game in Germany, the way they set up that night to try and make sure they were still in the tie. And I think, look, I'm going to come to Jimmy Bell in a second ahead of the second leg. We understand the emotion of that game. But I think there was almost a bit of a spirit of Walter Smith with them throughout the season. His legacy was there. Something Ali McCoy's kept on saying to us, he felt. And obviously, Ali, it was so hard for him to talk about. But obviously, he had said to us a few times, he felt like Walter were with them.
I think that performance typified a Walter Smith team, Darrell. And I think the performance, not just the boys, but the manager has to have a lot of credit for that because it was different. It was, like Kenny mentioned, about being on the front foot and having a go and full energy, etc., etc. It was probably a wee bit more reserved and staying in the game, knowing that how special Ibrox had been to that point and how powerful, I know it's a cliche thing to say, but how powerful the fans are. And it just shows you even some of the best players in world football struggle to go and showcase their talents at Ibrox in a 90-minute game of football. Just how powerful it was. So I think the emotion and everything that was ongoing with the club, it was, I am a believer at times that things are meant to be. I think if it had been 2, it might have been different. But I think at 1-0 and having the belief to keep them quite quiet on their home turf that Hutz mentioned, it really gave the energy and the belief, not just for the fans, I think even the pundits, I think everybody, the players were pretty confident that they could do themselves justice in the second leg.
I'd be really interested, you know, if because everybody had experienced at home against Dortmund and then against Red Star, if Gio and his team are sitting saying, thinking, we just need to get this game back to Ibrox.
Yeah.
We need to be in this game. And, you know, if that's played part of his, not just the fact, the generic thought behind it, just take it to the second leg and stay in the game. It's, no, let's get it back with these punters behind us. This 50,000 and this atmosphere and this energy that they've been bringing to us, we need to just get this back there because see if we do, we'll win.
Yeah.
We'll win. I just wonder if that would be interesting to see if that was any part of the conversation with Gio and his team because there's no doubt the energy that the players supplied the crowd and vice versa was special that journey.
That takes us to, I think you would say, in modern history, the most unbelievable atmosphere at Ibrox, one of the great Ibrox nights, the Leipzig home game, and of course in the lead up to that game the club lose an icon in Jimmy Bell. The emotion from Walter Smith early in the season, it just built and built. You remember the fans getting in really early that night. I think you said to me with half an hour before the game had even started, I'm not sure you'd seen Ibrox like that. It just carried on right throughout the match.
It did, you know, and it was I mean, the club and the fans and everybody connected with the club had been put through the ringer over the year, obviously with the passing of Walter, and then that and the sudden news that Jimmy, our kit man, had passed away on the, I think it was the Monday night or early into the Tuesday morning. It would have been an absolute body blow on to everybody involved, because Jimmy was like, people like Jimmy Bell are the heartbeat and the soul of a football club. You know, somebody had been, I think it was about 36 years, had been at the football club in different roles. Gio talked about him when he first came to the club, that he was the bus driver, he was the kit man, he had the shirt and tie on.
He's
the first guy, and you know, and he would be the guy you would go to for anything, you know. And these kind of people, I mean, are absolutely irreplaceable, you know. So you seen with the emotion on the night where everybody connected, the fans were there early, there was an atmosphere building up towards kickoff. You seen when Glenn scored the goal, again, what it meant to everybody involved as well. So it was always going to be a highly charged atmosphere, and I think, speaking even before the game and definitely after the game, it was a source of drive for the boys to go and try and do it, to try and make this final hurdle and make the final four all the legends and the icons of the football club that were lost over the course of the season. So it was an emotional night, as you've seen with the fans, with Super Ali standing next to us. Yeah. It was an incredible night. And like Thomas says, at that moment, like you touched on in Kunku's miss, you're starting to think, are things written in the stars that this is going to be a really incredible finish to the season, you know? And that night again, when it finished, it'd become obviously I'm feeling it get played, and the place, I think it was 45 minutes after, every fan was still in the building.
They were still dancing with Ali.
They were still dancing with Super Ali.
That's one of those moments, dancing and that shot on TV.
It was incredible.
I'll tell you what, I'll come back to those scenes in a moment, but just on the game itself, you mentioned Kamara scoring, Tavernier on Kamara again, setting the tone, Rangers ahead in the match, playing some fantastic football, Van Bronckhorst going toe-to-toe with him that night. The way he set up, it was almost man for man as well. It was brave to do that. They were 1-0 down, but that was the belief he showed in his team.
Yeah, but I think that's the belief that he had. Like I said, he kept them quiet, relatively quiet, in the first leg. So knowing coming back to Ibrox, there's an opportunity to tactically be different, get at them. He probably pinpointed areas where he knew he could. And to get the start that they did, probably just the confidence just lifts. Right, there's an opportunity here.
Yeah.
We can beat this team. Yes, they've been put together, £200 million team, and we shouldn't be anywhere near them. But on any given night, they can compete at that level, and they showed that. And
do you remember it 2-0 up? What you said to me about the fans around you? So, before Nkunku equalises to make it 2-0 all the time.
So I'm in the stadium, and obviously, good start, score the goal. Kamara, bang, second one. So everybody around about me is thinking, we're going to the final, phones are out. You know, you can't get a reception. People have phones out, looking up flights, getting a flight. So they're like, right, phoning people, right, try and get me a flight, try and get us a flight. So everybody's working to get flights. And Kunku goes up and scores.
Cancel.
What's the refund options?
Keegs in our ear. We're getting ready. We need to get the flight sorted.
The producer sorted the whole trip.
That's what I think. Was there 10 minutes between the goals, between Lindstrom's goal? So obviously the panic had now set in that these prices for the flights are incredible. People are starting to book, and Kunku's scored. The emotions of everything that's going on. 10 minutes later, Lindstrom puts the ball in the net, and it went crazy. That's what I said about being a fan again. I'm jumping up and down with people. I don't know, high-fiving, and everything's going mental. Like, I've not been like that since I was a wee boy. And it was great to just feel part of it and feel involved. And it just brought that kind of kid feeling out again, where you're just a supporter. It was just brilliant to be there.
Almost fitting as well, the ball dropped to Lundstrom, and he keeps his head, doesn't he, on his left side to score the goal that eventually puts Rangers through and then set off those wild scenes. One of the great nights for you, do you think, at Ibrox?
Incredible, that really. I actually thought the team were dead on their feet. Until that goal, I thought that they looked like they were going to get beat. And I probably agree with Kenny. I do believe sometimes that it's sometimes written in the stars and it's meant to be. You know, the big moments in the games, the mistakes or momentum in football can be massive. And I genuinely looked at that Rangers team before John scored, and they looked dead in their feet. And I thought there was only going to be one winner. But it's amazing to think that he popped up. And I suppose, in hindsight, the relationship that he was building with the fans, it was like the icing on the cake for him, wasn't it?
It was interesting, though, because in the game, You remember Joe Aribo had that chance to put it in.
Yep. I
mean, at this point, it's all on the old swinger. To go 3-0 up. And I think even their manager, I'd referenced, had that went in. Mm-hmm. It could have been any score because of the atmosphere it was getting generated, because the Rangers are right on top of them. It's 2-0 at Ibrox with 50,000 maniacs behind you, giving all kinds of support to the team. That I think he had referenced, had that goal went in, he really felt it could have been any score.
Tedesco,
because his
manager.
His team were done.
Yeah.
You know, his team had been spooked. I think you've used that word before, Tom. We've been spooked by the atmosphere at Ibrox and thinking, what on earth is going on here? You know, this is not supposed to happen to us. Mm. And they're 2-0 down, and it was three. It should have been three.
Yeah.
That should have been three, and it could have been game done at that point. But even with Lundstrom's goal, Lundstrom started, and I think Gio, he plays him on the right-hand side of the back three that night. And you're thinking, well, he's been central
That's
before.
Right. Yeah.
Why is he doing that?
Kunku as well.
Absolutely. Yeah. But that, for me, again, I don't know. Mm-hmm. But looking at it, I thought, he's put him there because they are going 3-for-3 at the back. And they're going to go, you know what? You are big, strong and quick. So if you get in a scenario where Nkunku might expose you or go 1v1, you're more than capable of dealing with that. So for that, he then moves him into midfield and he pops up with a winning goal. Things happen, you know.
Because, as we said, the emotion of the night, and it all came out at the end. I mean, I still get fans sort of contacting me on Twitter, the BT Sport Twitter feed as well, if you have a look at their Facebook. The final 10 minutes from when the whistle blows that night to Ali dancing, to I saw tears in your eyes. Ali was gone, wasn't he? I think because of everything as well, what had happened that week, he was absolutely gone. He could hardly speak to begin with. It was incredible to be next to you guys on that night because I saw what it meant to you. But everything that happens, fans still say that those 10 minutes are some of the 10 best minutes of their life, because I think they could hardly breathe during the game because they were on the edge of their seat the whole time. It was so dramatic at the end. But that was just the absolute raw emotion coming out, Kevin, at the end of that match.
It was just, even if you don't like Rangers, Darryl, it was just people that love football. You know, it's great scenes, like the unseen clips, I suppose, that you see, like, Coisty's celebrations. I was fearing for Coisty's safety falling over that gantry.
I think he forgot he was on the telly for a moment.
And I suppose for you as a broadcaster, like to try and ask these boys questions and keep it going and keep it rolling, and then get to see the scenes on the pitch and the songs. And we obviously all know Griegsy quite well, and you see Griegsy bouncing on the pitch, and he's.
I think it was Griegsy that got Ali dancing. Actually,
Griegsy's obviously everybody loves him to bits, but he can be quite. Win a game and just wants to go home, Griegsy, can't he?
So he's neither up nor down. He just kind of stays at a level.
To see him dancing and see him actually singing his heart out. I've won titles with Griegsy and he just wants a beer, doesn't he? And to get in the changing room. So to see him like that just shows you how special it was.
It's funny you should bring that up, because straight after the game, so I was up in his box with his family, and he come, you know what he's like a big dafty sometimes, isn't he? And he strolls
sometimes.
Up. I was trying to be kind to him, and he strolls up. Full gear on, shinies, get his gloves, full hang, right? Celebrating. Like, that's just him all over. And it was just, it's the emotion of the whole thing, yourself, Coisty, just Everton, just outpouring. It must have been good for you to watch that, because that's something that you don't normally see.
Incredible.
You have to be professional and you have to answer the questions and do your job, do what you're there for. But to see that other side of people, it's just great to see.
I was doing a bit of work on different media platforms in the days after it, and you had people phoning up saying that they were physically crying after. This was like when you're on when you're listening to somebody talk, you don't. This was like a 62-year-old man, but then the next time it was a 58-year-old woman and saying, I'm not ashamed to say it, but I was in tears. She goes, everybody about me was in tears as well, you know.
Yeah,
so the emotion of the whole thing had just captured everybody involved, you know. And like you say, it was brilliant to be involved in it for a broadcasting point of view, because you actually felt connected. And we obviously went and had went up the tunnel and had spent a bit of time with
them,
congratulated with them and spent a bit of time with them. And you know, you touched on
we couldn't get Ellie out of the place.
Oh my goodness, I had to cart him out.
We're sharing the same car home.
Yeah.
I think we locked the doors actually.
I think we did.
We just left. You touched on the togetherness of your 2008 squad. I got a sense of it.
Yeah.
In the games leading into that and that semi final. But see, when you were actually involved in that group and you were surrounded by the players, by the staff, and there was a real togetherness about them, you know, and I think extend for belief. And some of the results and the performances they put in, it was to do with the group and the journey that they've been on, not just in this season, but over the course of the three seasons, four seasons that they've been together. And this was it was coming together, you know, and there was a real confidence. And I think everything that went on that we've already discussed, I think the players believed that we're going to do this. You know, we can do this. We can make this final. We've beat the best in Dortmund, who were the favourites at the time. And now we're in a position where we're going to the final. Yeah. You know, we've just beat another top German team.
The next favourite, if you like, at that point.
Absolutely.
Leipzig were then favourites.
So it was, I think there was a real feel within the group that was, for me, outside the group, but being in amongst it and close enough to sense there was something special brewing.
Mm-hmm. We saw and met on our way out the stadium that night some real club legends who were in there. And I think that brought it all together. Some of the all-time greats in there celebrating with the players afterwards. And I heard Ali McCoy say, and some of those guys as well, some of the top players that I know, I don't know if you want to mention who was there and who you spoke to after the game, but some of them were saying to us, Kenny, if you remember, Bayern Munich 1972, semi-final, to beat that team with Beckenbauer and co. Leeds, perhaps, in 92, on the way into the first Champions League, the group stages, when Rangers nearly went to the final. And then that Leipzig game, that's what they were saying to us, Kenny. That's how good a night that was.
No, it was, and it's... And again, it doesn't need anybody to say that because it is. Yeah. You know, you were there, you've witnessed it, you've seen the performance, not just for that game, but building in towards that game. And every single person that I've spoke to who was at that game, they've said the exact same thing. That will never, I will never ever be beat.
No.
You know, that the atmosphere, and this is, like you say, it's older players.
John Gregg and more.
Yeah, of course. It's
some
older
of the guys
players,
from 72.
Real club legends that have been, who have experienced incredible nights. Yeah. Over the course of the years, it was just incredible, you know. And I think you go back to this 10 years almost to the day now that they've come through in Division 3, it was at the time, to being now in a European final. Like, the emotion overcomes so many people. What actually was achieved by the group was special. Yep, there was still one game to go.
Yeah.
There was a big hurdle to go against. Everybody's eyes now, we've beat Dortmund and Leipzig. Well,
that was part of the problem, wasn't it? Everyone thought two Bundesliga teams beaten. Just, if you can put in towards what Glasgow as a city, well, maybe one half of the city was like after that Leipzig victory, the anticipation then, the build-up to Seville.
Yeah, it's like anything. I can only think back to, obviously, like the build-up to a Celtic game. Mm. It starts on Monday, or if the game's Saturday or whatever. Every day you walk by in the street, it's... You need to win this game. This game's coming up. Remember, we must win. And by the way, people are getting planes, trains, automobiles, flying to Turkey, coming back to Ireland, to this. It was mayhem trying to organise it, never mind just the build-up. But I think from a player's point of view, you obviously have to keep the head, work hard. But the fans, that's the excitement. That's what it's all about. It's not just the event or getting there. It's about the build-up to it. Mm. And Glasgow is a city, the whole, everywhere. It was just great to be around and be involved in it.
I remember going back into the centre that night. Everyone seemed to be on on a night out, on a party sort of thing. It was absolutely nuts. But the next thing is, your phone's going all the time. Yours probably was as well. And you, how are you going to get a ticket? I mean, everybody was asking, people you've not heard from for 10, 15 years. I was at school with, all of a sudden getting my number and asking for tickets.
Did you get them?
No, it was impossible. We had Ali McCoist in the day of the game, didn't we, saying, have you got two more? And he said, well, he's only got two. He probably had about 22.
He only had 52.
Exactly.
If only a pound for every time we got
asked. But it was a bit like that, wasn't it?
I think it's always like that. It was the same back in the day, whether it was any game really, because there's always people wanting tickets. But I think the magnitude obviously goes up a bit. Yeah. I think the players need to take a lot of credit, Daryl, for the fans of the fans and the excitement. And it's probably the bit that you don't get to see as a player, but four times extra time. It tells you that the preparation and what was going on outside didn't distract from how the players prepared for the game, how they looked after themselves, the fitness levels, and all these wee things. Like, of course, the players would love to be on a Thursday night with Coisty and Kenny and wherever they go nowadays. But
up the road.
Cup
of tea.
Cup of tea. But to not get embroiled in it, because when Hutch mentioned Old Firm, the build-up, and everybody wants to speak to you, everybody wants a piece of you. You know, everybody knows how big social media is, so there'll be lots of players involved in it, and there'll be good stuff, bad stuff. Of course, there will be as an Old Firm player, but the way the players focused and how Gio and his staff managed the group to continue to push on and push on and push on for every hurdle that come their way, I think need to take a massive amount of credit. And that's not taken away from how wonderful it was for everybody involved at the football club and all the fans.
Sport pods. And then Seville, because we were over there together, weren't we? And I think, 2 days before the game, but it just kept on building. The first day we were in the city, a lot of blue jerseys. The second day, you could walk more than 10 metres, but you were getting stopped in 40 degree heat. Photo, you, autograph, I'll, chat.
You never forget it. You know, it was an incredible 2-3 days we spent in Seville. It all started meeting at the airport early in Glasgow then. Everybody's there.
Lots of cups
airport
of tea.
Is pandemonium. You get to actually London, it's the same because, like Hutt says, people are going for all over the place. Mm. And between the semi-final and the final, if there were anything like me, they would have been spent like the 2 weeks on Skyscanner trying to find trying to find flights because the missus took the wee man across. Yeah. So they were trying to find the right route or any kind of route to get there. But once we got there and we got the hotel, and that's it, we're settled now. Like, amazing city, by the way. So
beautiful place.
Absolutely beautiful. First time I'd been. But you'd be walking along because it's all these wee thin, narrow streets. It was incredible. You'd be walking through and like, you could just hear, I'm feeling it coming up here, somewhere up in the top left corner. You're like, and somebody'd be shouting over you, like, what's going on? But there's people above you, like 3-4 stories high. And it was just Rangers fans, Rangers flags lining the streets.
They'd rented every flat, every apartment,
every
hadn't they?
Every apartment.
I mean, I remember coming back after one of the, maybe the night before the game, I think we'd been out for dinner, the old BT team. And it was dark. But you could just hear songs. You were constantly looking up somebody, wasn't it? It was, flags everywhere.
It was really surreal, to be honest with you, because you're thinking, right, okay, hotels, maybe the odd apartment here, but it was every apartment. There was red, white, and blue flags out. There was music pumping out of the things. It was an incredible experience, you know. Like, and the city, by the way, they were brilliant as well. Really well behaved at the areas. There was everywhere you went. There was different pockets of fans. Well, groups and big groups of fans, just building up to the game. It was a sensational 2 days build up to the game. It was like being part of the game, to be honest with you.
Yeah, felt a bit like that, didn't it? A number of times we were in and out the stadium. I just remember one day at breakfast, this late, I assume a local lady brought her two kids past us on the way to nursery. These poor kids were like, what has hit us? What has happened to our city? It was that kind of trip, wasn't it?
It was a takeover. Yeah. You know, it was an absolute takeover. I mean, I actually can't remember. Maybe on the Wednesday afternoon, maybe seeing a bit of Frankfurt fans, but I can't actually remember. Yeah. I mean, Rangers fans were there probably. I mean, I had a friend who was on a stag do the weekend before it, and where was he? He might have been Benidorm, and then they were just staying the whole week. You know, and how they got there, it was like the bus for here to pick these guys up for there, and then they're coming down there, and afterwards, he still wasn't home until late the Friday night. I mean, some of the routes that the fans went and the dedication they've shown to support their team was. It was impressive, it really was.
The heat, I remember as well, wearing shorts and ties and blazers on there that night, standing next to you and Ali and Owen Hargreaves. I mean, sweat was rolling off Ali's forehead in particular. But it was brutal conditions, and there was an expectation in Rangers that they could perhaps see it through. Look, it was agony in the end, but they could not have got any closer, Al.
Yeah, of course. I mean, in terms of performance, I don't think it was up there with some of the ones that we've seen along the way. The conditions play their part, yes, of course they do. Expectations, yes. It's as you said before, the weight of playing for Rangers, especially in a European final, is difficult. I think just maybe on the day, not enough had turned up, which is a shame. It really is a shame because you get to the last hurdle and you want the boys to be free and just go and express themselves, but it's hard. It's not easy to go out there and play against a team that's obviously very good. Yes, they weren't as good as what they've played in the past, but they're still there to win also.
Oh, Frankfurt had knocked out Barcelona.
Exactly, West Ham, so you forget about
scoring
that.
Scoring some brilliant goals as well, but Rangers were ahead in the game. I mean, what a moment that was when Aribo scores.
And that goes back to you just think it was written in the stars with a mistake, and then Aribo goes through.
Having to play striker as well.
Have to play striker, goes through, shows brilliant composure and scores, and then the place just erupts, and you genuinely sit there thinking that they're going to win this.
Yeah, but they couldn't hold on for long enough, I don't think.
Aye.
And maybe a fraction of a second, if you like, from Conor Goldson, just maybe stalling, get caught in his heels a little bit. The next thing you know, Borre scores. It's one. Goldson, by the way, since signed a contract extension, a lot of people thought that might be his last game for Rangers. I wonder if that whole run and everything maybe persuaded him to stay on, Kevin, as well, the emotion that came with that.
I think he came out and said that, though, didn't he? Yeah. That what the club brings as a club, the opportunities you get.
Hard to replicate for him.
And the opportunities to potentially get into the Champions League, to win trophies, to play in front of 50,000, to get opportunities to have European runs. I think the team are more than capable of, not saying getting finals regularly, but certainly punching in Europe and competing against the best teams, because they've proven over the last 24 months that they can do that. I think the game on itself, I was gutted for the lads down just because how cruel it was in the end. And I think if you care, whether you're a Rangers fan or you're not, I think it's just cruel to see professionals as an ex-professional suffer so much heartache in a split second. Yeah. I know it was penalty shootout, obviously, that sealed it, but that chance that Ryan Kent had, half a foot either side of the goalkeeper, and you mentioned it off air, you know, some of the legends that are remembered at this club for a long, 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 long time, for decades, this would be the next group of legends that would be remembered for that long. So I just felt really gutted for them on a whole. I agree with Hutz, the game itself wasn't great. And I think it typified what Rangers performed like through Europe away from home. I thought they did huff and puff in their away legs. I think Ibrox, I think if they played that final at Ibrox 20 times, they would win at 19.
Yeah. Also, what you would say though is, even after the equaliser, into extra time again, Rangers once again, even in that heat, found a way to finish the stronger. The Ryan Kent chance, Tavernier's got a free kick just after, sails over the wall, you know, Trapp saves it quite easily, but they finished, they looked the stronger team, but that Ryan Kent moment, Kenny, right in front of where you're standing as well, because we were up that side of our broadcasting platform. I mean, you can see him probably off camera. It's in all the way, isn't it?
We could see it develop. Yeah. You know, like you talked about missing Morelos, Roof not being fit. Well, Roof comes on for 3 minutes and he has a couple of striker movements that get them in behind, and the chance comes for that. He gets into the corner. It's a hopeful ball across the goal. But you see, Ryan, we can see Ryan Kent. He's going to get there. He's got about 20, 25 yards to make up, but he's on his bike, and again, it's testament to their fitness, their desire to keep going to right to the very end, that he made that run and actually got on the end of it. And it's almost right, he catch it pretty clean. Yeah. If he's that close to the goal, had he shanked it one way or the other, it probably finds its way into the corner.
It's one of them you probably say, you know, it's probably must score, but equally, what a save.
Well, let me tell you, as a forward player, or any player for that matter, on the end of that chance, he'll relive that moment for the next 20 years. By the time he'll be in, somebody will be talking about it, and he'll play what he played back, you know.
They'll make a documentary, this in 50 years, seriously, this run, everyone will be talking about that moment.
And that was the moment, and I can see it like from, it was like a out-of-body experience now, thinking back on it. I see myself in that corner, I'm hanging off the railing, because I thought, this is it, and I'm hanging on. Koisty's on the other, he's leaning over, we're all drained. You know, we've been another 120 minutes into the game, like I said, I don't know how the lads are feeling, but I was absolutely
gone. Is that the
gone.
One that came out to Stephen Davies as well?
He came out,
two deflections it took.
And he struck it, and it's flying in, it took one wee nick, and then I think the other guy nicks out for a corner. So even at that moment, you think, there's a chance here, get the ball in the mixer. Some big corner, you go and stick your head on it, and you come out with a Europa League title, you know. But it goes to penalties.
But they still take it to penalties. Yeah. And you know, you're thinking Alan McGregor. Now we know it's not his last game, but it felt like it was fate, didn't it? Yep. And everything else. And he gets close to one, but the standard of the penalties. And look, we know Aaron Ramsey missed, and he came off the bench, and unfortunately, Aaron Ramsey was the one that missed for Rangers. But the standard of the penalties.
Yeah, the standard was right up there. It was right up there, and very confident when Greaves is in goals and there's any penalty, it doesn't matter who's hitting it, I'm confident. And we were probably all the same sitting watching it. He's going to save one. So if Rangers can keep their cool, put the ball in the net, we'll win this. And speaking to him after it, he was just like, I didn't get close to any. And me watching it, he did. It went the right way.
The one that went off the post, he had an incredible leap, just missed it.
For him to say that means it wasn't close to it in his eyes, because the power was there, the accuracy was there, he was never going to get a hand on it. Yeah, he went the right way, but in his mind, he wasn't close to it. So fair play to them, they kept their cool, and it's just it's a real shame. Ramsey, he came with a big expectation for the big moments. He was brought on as a sub. Was it the right decision to give him one? I get why.
I guess Roof came on late as well. I get why,
but it's just a shame how it ended. To losing penalties, how he's feeling. Well, it's difficult to even imagine, but I do feel for him. But it's just a shame that he's going to get a hand on one.
Utter agony in the end, Kevin, for them.
I think if you picked a goalkeeper, you'd want Alan McGregor to be in the goals when you got penalties. I've seen him do it in training, and boys trying, like Boydies, etc., Kenny's mucking about, and
Koisty's,
and just incredible. Yeah. And the competitive nature that Greigsy's got, he would stand there and let lads rattle penalties in because he was just desperate to save them. So I genuinely probably had the same feeling as a lot of people that knows Greigsy, that as soon as there were any penalties, he would save one, if not two. But taking the hung away from, you know, just how much quality the penalties were. But the harsh reality is, you can think about all the different parts of the journey and all the different parts of the game. The agony that followed that for the lads was painful to watch.
Yeah, and all the fans who were there as well. But the way they applauded them afterwards as well said it all about the European run they'd been on. It. And just briefly on Alan McGregor, cause obviously I know you're good pals with him. Do you think he's playing on because Rangers didn't win that game in some ways? because had they won, maybe he'd have thought that was the perfect way to go out.
Yeah, I think so. I think if they'd lifted that trophy that night, it would have been some send-off. What a career he's obviously had, and, yeah, and he's we know he's still going, but I think that could have possibly been the end. Yeah. The opportunity now to go again at 40, possibly Champions League, we'll wait and see, but I think that's what spurs him on. He wants to win. He's a winner. Yeah. He's a born winner.
And Stephen Davis is staying on as well. He wants another go. That was the other bit of speculation that he might leave. Just before we finish on that game, though, I have to say one other player you've got to pick out. I know he's been mentioned a couple of times, but the individual performance of Calvin Bassey that night, that's one of the great displays in the Rangers jersey, isn't it?
He was incredible. You know, the one moment that sticks out for me was not even any of the qualities that he's shown. It's when he slipped and fell over. And for a young player to show the reaction that he did, he just got up straight away and sprinted as fast as he possibly could. And the lad maybe just gave him a wee bit of a chance, but he never stopped. And he got back, he made up for the mistake. I think he knocked out for a corner.
He did.
Defended, dusted himself down, took a big deep breath, and he was ready to go again. His performances were sensational. Yeah. Whether it was left back, left wing back, left centre back.
Calvin played in a game, a bounce game against Dundee United for me in the B team. And I still remember, infectious character, loves football, desperate to get better, desperate to learn. And Dundee United were coming up, it was the bubbles, so the quality was high. It was literally a first team game. And Calvin played left centre back with Lewis Mayo. And he said to me before the game, Shanklin's playing, what's he like? I says, he's a handful, Scotland international, he uses his body well, he's never really going to run away for you. And Shanklin gave him quite a hard time. And he was asking me after the game what he could do better and what he could do this and what he could do that. And just an infectious character that he wanted to get better. And then you fast forward, Dick out on the timeline, 18 months, 24 months, and he's putting a performance like that. And by the way, that wasn't the only time he put that type of performance in.
No.
He was churning him out. Week in, week out, every
second
week.
Half of the season.
Incredible.
Bassey, Lundstrom, the levels of performance that we're showing were staggering. Final thing, I guess, then we have to talk about on this season, just before we draw the line under this podcast. I think we've gone for a while here, lads, but to lose that, in that heat, in those conditions, in that fashion, I think more importantly, the psychological hurt that they must have felt, to go again in the Scottish Cup final, and you already mentioned earlier on the need to bring silverware back to Ibrox that season, but to go again, and to go into extra time again against Hearts kind of blows your mind, doesn't it?
It does, but you know, it's when you're at these football clubs, you have to be wired right. You know, you have to, disappointment, absolutely, and the lads will be gutted. There was so much put into that European journey, and every single one of them will be like us. They've been part of it. They know what's at stake. They know what it potentially means for them in relations to how they're standing at this football club, this great club, for years and years to come. And it's done. They've lost on penalty kicks, and you could see it. I mean, we were hurting, we were drained. I think all the fans, and again, just to touch on the fans, there was a lot, 9,000. Must have been 29,000 Rangers fans.
And now we know, by the way, about some of the conditions. Now, after the game, we found out about no water in the stadium and everything else.
Ridiculous, you know.
Ridiculous, brutal for them to go through.
All credit to them. I mean, they found their way to that stadium. And by the way, they found their way back to Hampden as well on the Saturday somehow.
Yeah.
And but by the way, turning up, expecting. You know, they need to turn up and they need to win this now. Rangers had to win that cup, because had they not, for me, it would have been a failure of the season.
Yeah.
You know, and even there'll be some people that will still even say, well, for where we were in the league and we never won the Europa League, well, because this club's built on winning, you know. But they had to turn up and not to win. And, you know, it was slow at spells, you know, and it looked tough.
Yeah.
Hearts started pretty well. But again, I think Rangers took over after Stamina. About 15, 20 minutes. And going into extra time, getting the two goals in extra time was just typified the kind of level of performance and the energies that they'd shown over the course of that last 6-8 weeks of the season, going to extra time 3 or 4 times and coming out on top for the most part. You know, it was, again, testament to their characters and the desire to go and win, because they needed to win on that day by hook or by crook. They need to come away with that Scottish Cup. And they deserved it, to be honest, over the level of performance. They're the better team, but sometimes the best team doesn't always win.
Big for Gio as well, to get a first piece of silver. But you're right what you say, Kenny, because the difference between what would have been a remarkable run to a European final ultimately ends in pain and no trophies in the season, now being seen as, okay, it didn't happen in the league, and that was that's how they started, that was the goal. But to come away with winning the Scottish Cup and making a European final, what, the second time in 50 years?
Yeah, I think anybody knows involved with Rangers, you have to win silverware. That's the minimum, is winning trophies. So of course it would have been under pressure, to especially after 55. It was such an amazing moment for everybody involved in the club. We had to kick on and do it again. And Rangers weren't good enough when it comes to the domestic trophies. Mm-hmm. So to get the Scottish Cup was obviously a tick in the box.
First time they'd won it since 2009.
Yeah, which is crazy. And then obviously a European final. Mm-hmm. So now it's about not just standing still.
Yeah.
The hardest thing is to go again, as we all know. So it's building on what they have to then become better as a team. But you know, as a Ranger, you have to win.
Yeah.
As simple as that. Start of the season, we must win. We must win silverware.
Your 2 metres are almost up. You've got a training session. I've got a train ticket. I think we better call it a day. Guys, thank you very much. Enjoyed that. Great stuff.
Always. Good man. BT Sport Pods.